Nancy.
Yes, dear.
Now, be honest. At my age, do you think I should be doing something like this?
Believe me, Ronnie, every once in a while it's healthy to do this sort of thing. It isn't just for young people, you know. A lot of people our age do it. I hear even George Burns did it.
But not while wearing roller skates.
Probably not.
And why shorty pajamas? Why can't I just wear the normal lounge type?
Oh, Ronnie, you look good, dear. I like the way you look.
And the water wings?
I like those, too.
Listen, can I take off the water wings and the bunny ears?
Oh, I wish you wouldn't.
Nancy, I'm really surprised at you. I mean, this is strange. I wouldn't think you'd go in for this. And I've known you an awful long time.
I suppose you want me to take off the pirate boots and throw away the pogo stick and the Dumbo ears.
Can I remind you of something? I am the President of the United States.
Ooh, that's what makes it so wild. Now, Ronnie, dear, just grit your teeth and say, I'm going to jump in with both feet.
All right, I'll do it. But I just wish I could take off the beaver tail and get rid of the skates.
Oh, it's too late now, dear. Mwah. Good luck.
I'll probably be sorry in the morning.
All right, stand by, Mr. President. You're on, and cue the president.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Here is Mr. Movie Maker himself. Let's give him a big round of applause, Mr. Paul Mack.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And I want to welcome... I want to welcome everybody here who showed up for the very first live performance that Paul Mack presents for our live taping here for the week of October 9th through the 13th of 1983. I'll tell you, I can't believe it. Look at all those people. I don't think any of you would have showed up if I had to put free booze on the ticket. Isn't that right? Hey, you can laugh now, but wait till you see what you're really getting. Apple cider. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after this message.
Good day, welcome to school. I'm Principal Bob McKenzie. This is my Vice Principal Doug.
How's it going, eh?
Okay, so good day, welcome to school. And today we're not going to have the National Anthem or the Lord's Prayer. Instead, we're going to have our theme.
Okay, everyone ready? Will you sing with me, standing in unison?
Okay, be seated.
We have a long day ahead of us, so we should begin with a two-hour recess. Everyone get up and go out.
Go outside.
Good day.
Okay, there'll be smokes handed out outside. This isn't a fire drill. No lining up, just run out. Okay. Okay, light up. Oh, if they're outside, they can't hear us, eh?
Oh, well, then we'll light up.
Okay.
No, everyone... Okay, everyone go out except the people in the third seat of every row. You all have a detention.
Why? What'd they do?
I have to talk to them all in my office.
You
can't... So come to the vice principal's office, and we'll have a beer and talk. You've been bad.
You can't do that. You have to have a reason.
I don't. If I'm vice principal, vice principal never had any reason,
okay,
so
this,
I don't need any.
This, what? Really?
Okay, so, like, that's the announcement.
Except one thing, when you go in the lunchroom, what you're smelling is food, and that thing is a burger. Okay, go ahead.
Good day. End of announcements.
Have a good school day. You want everybody to stand up again?
Oh, yeah, all right.
Stand up again for the end.
And sing in unison.
Beauty. Everyone say, beauty.
Well, hello, movie line callers. Paul, everybody. This is John O.C.C. from La Habra. And I saw a movie last night, and I was so excited about it, I just thought I had to call in and tell you about it. And that movie is Brainstorm. And of all the movies that I've seen in the past 4 months, this one has got to be the best one I've seen. It's got a very good plot to it. It never gets boring. There's always some action and excitement in it, and towards the end, you are at the edge of your seat. The acting was superb. Special effects were excellent. So if you want to see a good movie that you can really be entertained by and not walk out of the theater and say, what a screwed movie that was, go see Brainstorm. I highly recommend it. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give it a 9. This has been John O.C.C. from La Habra. Take it easy.
Yeah, Paul, this is Tony North Hollywood. I just got off work, and I was watching TV, and I saw promos to Frightmares and Brainstorm. And I was wondering maybe if you could give a film review next week on that. And also, Mike of L.A. is the only person that I know of that would leave a comment on a film that he saw a year ago.
Well, what's the story, Mike? Come on. This is Tony North Hollywood again. I mean, let's get it together. I mean, did you see any movies lately or not?
The last thing I saw was Britannia Hospital.
And how many years ago was
it? Hey, Mike! You're sick! You're sick! I don't want you ever call... Get out of here!
And Paul, you're doing good work. And catch you later.
Can you believe that guy? Michael from L.A. I can't believe it. I mean, he gets more laughs than I do, and he doesn't even try. That's right, gang. Laugh it up. See what I tell you? Yeah, yeah. Thanks, my loyal fans. And now back into the tape, shall we?
Paul, who do you have on the line?
The Paul Mack.
Paul, this is Brian, your critic at large from the far west region of the San Fernando Valley. And I also have on the line here
the ever controversial Mickey's pal.
Oh, my God. I called up and got you two?
Yeah.
I think I'll hang up now. Hey, this is great. I just called to see what was going on the movie line. What's happening this week?
Well, I don't know, but a couple of weeks ago, Paul, I went and saw The King and I with Yul Brynner, and I tell you, it's not a movie, but it's a play. And if anybody's going to go see any type of play this week, they should go see that. It's an excellent. It's, if you ever saw the movie, this play just has so much more exhilarance. It builds up more here than it does.
No, it doesn't.
Movie.
What do you mean, though? So you liked it, right? Better
yeah,
than
I saw the movie, and
yeah.
The movie was better.
You think the movie's better than the play?
But I think the play was better than the movie.
No,
okay.
I think the movie's better than the play.
Mickey's buddy thinks the movie was better, and...
How?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, you're infringing on... You know, I used to work for Walt Disney Productions. We could have sued
yes,
your
I
butt.
Yes, I know you did.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paul...
Yes, wait a minute. Who's interviewing who now? Let's get down to brass tacks. I called you guys, and... No, you called me.
I called you.
I don't know who called anywhere, but
it
I mean...
It doesn't matter at this point.
What are you guys doing, and have you seen any good movies lately other than...
I have seen absolutely nothing.
Wonderful.
I'm going to go see the ever-controversial Pia Zadora in Lonely Lady next week.
Good one, good one. You know, I hate to admit it, but... I got you two started on these lines, didn't I? And they kind of hate you over there at Observatory, Mr. Powell.
No, they don't. They
well,
love me.
Yeah, I kind of feel a little responsible ever since I interviewed you at the Egyptian Theater for my Star Wars special.
Jedi, here. You never played it, you son of a...
Well, anyway. We can't play everything, Mr. Powell. How did I know you turn out to be such a hated guy?
Oh, it's okay.
I'm sorry. But anyway, listen, why don't you guys... I'll make it up to you. Why don't you guys come down to the studio next week and we'll have you in as live guests. How about that?
Sounds great.
Okay? So Mickey's pal and Brian, you're roaming... Whatever. Yeah, that. And those two guys and me next week here on Paul Mack Presents.
Definitely. Hi. This is Jim. I saw Brainstorm last week with a friend. It was an interesting movie. You know, they always said that she hadn't finished the film. As near as we could tell, you know, she totally was there right into the end when two or three other people died, except her, you know, so... one came back to life, but it wasn't a bad movie. It was rather strange, but she really seemed like she was there for the whole movie. This is Jim. Thank you.
Hello, this is Jerry Tarzana, and I want to start out my comment by asking people's opinion on The World According to Garp. I especially want Paul's, because it advertised to be a comedy, and I found it very depressing and everything. And my second comment is to Ken, since Untucked's been down, I miss you. If you hear this, call me. And also, Paul, God, I call your line every week. I'm a major fan of yours. I didn't even get my name on your song in Observatory. I'm deeply hurt. Well, goodbye.
You know what I really love, though? Thinking about everything. How we met. All that.
I can't live in the past.
I'm not. But I can live in the present and think about the past.
You're supposed to do that when you're old and gray.
Oh, to hell with that. When I'm old and gray, I probably won't remember my past. You gotta be young when you do it. It's really nice, you know, to look back and see the arc of your life. And it's all connected. How you got from there to here. See the line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It really has been an adventure.
I'm gonna start teaching again.
I'm gonna take up hang gliding.
The World According to Garp, starring Robin Williams, was a very serious film, in my opinion. It had a lot to offer, and it had a lot behind it, and it was very well done, well directed by George Roy Hill, and I thought it was wonderful. I'm a fan of Robin Williams, and I just felt that he did a wonderful job in doing a serious role. I think that a lot of people will assume that The World According to Garp is a comedy because Robin Williams stars in that film, but I think if they'll just disassociate him with the comedic overtone and look at him as a serious actor and go see the film, they'll really appreciate it. And I know they had quite a time keeping Williams off the ad-libbing, but he did a pretty straight role in that film. And Jerry, regarding your comment about me not mentioning you in Observatory, well, that comment was written, I wasn't really saying hello to anybody. What I was doing was trying to point out how stupid a lot of people were by just sitting there going, well, hello to you and him and who and everybody's thing and everybody dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. You know, I was just basically trying to ramble, show people how dumb they were, but in reality, I was the stupid one, and now let's get on with this.
Sunday mornings, go for a ride, doing the garden, digging the weeds, who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Eight old friends who haven't seen each other since the 60s are about to get together for a weekend of catching up. They'll find out who's up.
So how's your life?
Oh, great.
Who's down?
How's yours?
Not so great.
Oh, we're telling the truth.
Who's made it?
Tell us about big-time journalism.
You know, I'm tired of having all my work read in the can.
Who's making it with whom?
I know that Richard will always be faithful to me.
That's nice. A little trust.
Fear of herpes.
And most important of all...
I mean, how much sex, fun, friendship can one man take?
Columbia Pictures presents The Big Chill, starring Tom Berenger, Glenn Close, Jeff Goldblum, William Hurt, Kevin Kline, Mary Kay Place, Meg Tilly, Joe Beth Williams. Written by Lawrence Kasdan and Barbara Benedict. Produced by Michael Schamberg. Directed by Lawrence Kasdan. The Big Chill. In a cold world, you need your friends to keep you warm. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
All right, The Big Chill. I saw this film, and on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm going to give it a 6+. I did enjoy it. However, I think a lot of you could enjoy it more to the realms of 8+, okay? But who knows? If you can relate to the 60s and are used to that kind of thing, I thought it was well-acted, well-written, a lot of good performances in there, and basically, I think, however, it would have made a better play than it did a film. It's a very talkative film, but it is interesting. There's a lot of characterization in this picture. Go see it at the Hollywood Man Vogue Theater, and for information, you can call 462-6621 or in Westwood at the General Cinema Avco Center at 475-0711, both numbers in the 213 area code.
Hello, callers. This is Marty J. calling. Listen, I saw The Big Chill last Friday. Very first day it came out for $2. Hey, not too bad, huh? it was worth a lot more than that. The Big Chill was exquisitely done with, as they say in the ad, some of the finest new actors today. Not new, but some of the rising stars. My favorites were Kevin Kline, Jeff Goldblum, and Glenn Close. And Mary Kay Place really made herself known as an actress to me. The movie basically is about a group of seven people, actually eight people, seven of whom went to college together during the Vietnam era at University of Michigan. And the eighth being the girlfriend of a fellow that passed away, which is what brought everybody together again. The movie was excellent. I rate my movies on a scale of $1 to $7, you know, depending on what they're worth to me. And I rate The Big Chill worth about $7. That's how much I would pay to see this movie. I've seen it four times. I plan on seeing it an additional four times so I can do an in-depth character study on each person. Well, this has been Marty J saying, hey, I really hope you see it. It kind of makes me feel I was 33 instead of 23 because I wouldn't have minded living through those times. But, oh well. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
I've been asked to state my feelings about a fellow named Bond, James Bond. Well, as I see it, 007 is really a 10. He's our modern-day version of the great heroes who appeared from time to time throughout history. There were many like him in the past, pioneers, soldiers, lawmen, explorers, people who all went out and put their lives on the line for the cause of good. Bond is fearless, skilled, witty, courageous, optimistic, and one other thing, he always gets his girl. He meets up with some pretty terrifying enemies, but somehow with his determination, skill, and yes, the help of a good script, he always triumphs over them. James Bond is a man of honor. Maybe it sounds old-fashioned, but I believe he's a symbol of real value to the free world. Of course, some critics might say that Bond is nothing more than an actor in the movies. But then we've all got to start somewhere.
007 is here, sir. We'll see you in a minute.
Moneypenny. What gives?
Me, given an ounce of encouragement. You never take me to dinner looking like this, James. You never take me to dinner, period. James, where have you been?
Much too far from you, darling.
Same old James. Oh, only more so. Heartless brute, letting me pine away without even a postcard.
Pine no more. Cocktails at my place, 80s, just the door.
James.
Moneypenny, a feast for my eyes.
What about the rest of you?
Well, I was going to get a run.
James Bond and I often go out together, and whenever we do, we always have two girls on our arms. His are holding him down, and mine are holding me up.
James Bond? I admire his style. The fast cars, the elegant clothes, the beautifully chilled bottle of Dom Perignon. For most women, that's irresistible. Why, you...
Sorry, there's another in the fridge.
Who needs it?
My dear girl, there are some things that just aren't done, such as drinking Dom Perignon 53 above a temperature of 38 degrees Fahrenheit. That's as bad as listening to the Beatles without earmuffs.
James Bond, didn't you used to play drums with the Tangerine Dream?
Hello, Paula Movie Line callers. This is a galactic hitchhacker calling from somewhere in the middle of Los Angeles. My film review this week is on the newest James Bond movie, Never Say Never Again, starring Sean Connery in marvelous form as our super spy 007. This movie also stars Kim Basinger as Domino, Barbara Carrera as the venomous Fatima Blush, and Claus Maria Brandauer as Largo. The action in this movie is terrific, the sets are marvelous, and the effects by Apogee Incorporated are very good indeed. If I have just one complaint about this film, and it's very minor, is that the film's just a little bit long. But that's just a minor thing. So dust off your Walter PBK shit. Let me do it again, okay? So dust off your Walter... If there's... Shit. Let me do it again. Shit. That's just a minor thing. So dust off your Walter PBK, have a vodka martini, shaken not stirred, of course, and see Never Say Never Again. And to end off this week, I have a trivia question for your callers. Who was the first James Bond? Could you edit that? Could you edit that? Who was the first actor ever to play James Bond? And repeat. Who was the first actor ever to play James Bond? And repeat. And repeat. Could you edit this as well? Hello, Paula, movie line caller. Shit. Could you edit this as well? And to end off this week, I have a trivia question for your listeners. Who was the first actor ever to play James Bond? And to give you a clue, it was not Barbara Carrera as the venomous Fatima Blush. Shit. Anyway, this was the Galactic Hitchhiker. Sorry about screwing up that last comment, but... so I won't waste any more tape. Just see what you can do with editing it, okay? Thanks a lot. This has been the Galactic Hitchhiker. Thank you. Shit.
Well, Michael, buddy, I really did the best I could with your voice there. Under the circumstances, Well, I really did the best I could with your voice there. Under the circumstances, Anyway, but yeah. No, really, I really did the best I could. I mean, there's only so much a guy could... Shit. Oh, okay. Well, back to the comments. Shit.
Well, hello, movie line callers. It's Bob Observatory calling from Uptown Comiskey Park. And I just saw Never Say Movie Line Again. No, I saw Never Say Never Again tonight. And, I don't know. It is hard to distinguish Sean Connery's 007 from Roger Moore's 007. Well, it's not hard to distinguish. But I would say that I prefer Sean Connery in some of his movies and Roger Moore in some of his movies. I think it depends on the plot line. And so the movie on a whole, I would say it holds up fairly well as a remake. Though I would say without the James Bond music is a big deal, a big part of James Bond movies. I would say that's where it begins to show flaws, and it did have a lot of boring parts in it. Not long boring parts, but nevertheless, they are boring parts. Not as action-packed, but nevertheless, it is a good movie. I recommend it. You have to see it. If you've seen them all, you've got to see this one. And that's my review. On my table here, I give it about an 8. And Paul, you're doing a great job, and don't forget to play this comment. And that's it. Goodbye for now, and have a good day.
Hi, everybody. This is Jessica from Van Nuys. I'm calling on a movie I saw last week called The Lonely Lady. It just came out, I think, on last Friday. And I read the book. Harold Robbins was the author of that book, and he's just a magnificent writer, but the movie itself just was not at all as good as I thought it might be. I was really disappointed because Pia Zadora, number one, I didn't go and see it because of her. I don't think she can act at all. She did not stay in character, and I don't think she was cut out right for the part. But the book, if anyone gets a chance to read the book, The Lonely Lady by Harold Robbins, read the book. If you did see the movie and it disappointed you so far, if it disappointed you and you think you might not want to read the book, please read the book. I think you'd like it a lot. I did. Harold Robbins is wonderful. And it's too bad the movies are never as good as the books. Again, I was really disappointed by The Lonely Lady. And the acting stunk. So, the movie for the week. That was the movie I saw last Friday. And, anyway, everyone take care. Have a safe week, and I'll be calling next week. Bye.
Yeah, this is North Hollywood Reporter again. How you doing, Paul? How's everybody out there? Okay, I'm going to give my good and my bad this week. My goods are, you have to go see Never Say Never Again with, jerking your absence of, James Bond, the original Sean Connery, coming back and making another debut. I give that on a scale about an 8. And my bad is, ready for this? Stuck on You.
I'm not sure, really know who stars in it. I saw half of it, and I went out the other half of the movie. Not the best movie, not a good movie, just a teenage sexual comedy shit. Give that a 4. Okay, I don't know what else. Paul, you're doing a really great job, and I'm proud of you, and keep it up.
Yeah, I'm Jeff from Sherman Oaks, and I just not too recently saw the movie Jaws 3D, and it really bit the big one, man. I swear to God, wasn't serious at all. It was so stupid I laughed. I thought it was a comedy. It's a story about a big humongous shark about 5 houses long and swallows people, eats up the whole marine land, and it's so dumb, it's just dumb. And, you know, like they blew up the shark because the shark swallowed this guy whole, and his hand was hanging out holding a hand grenade, and the guy pulled the pin out of the grenade, and the shark blew up. At the end, the whole place is all blown up, and everybody's dead except these 2 people. And at the end, the lady said, "Uh-oh, I hope the dolphins are okay." And then the dolphins came up and went eek eek, and it was a happy ending. And that's what I thought was so stupid, because the whole movie was stupid. And the 3D glasses gave me a fucking headache. That's it. That's my movie review. I gave it a -1.
And now, Guy Gooden presents another memorable scene from the greatest science fiction movie of all time, Star Wars.
Let me tell you something very, very important, Nuke. When you go through life, keep your feet planted firmly on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. And until you find the star that you want, always keep your feet planted firmly on the ground. If you didn't keep your feet on the ground, you'd have nothing to stand on, or you'd fall up. So remember, Nuke, may the floors be with you.
Stay tuned for another memorable scene from the greatest science fiction movie of all time, Star Wars.
Francis Ford Coppola, one of the most acclaimed and innovative filmmakers of our time. Now, Universal Pictures takes pride in presenting his major new work, Rumblefish. Starring Matt Dillon as Rusty James, he worships his brother, so does every boy in town. But Rusty James can't live up to his brother's reputation. His brother can't live it down. Rumblefish, starring Matt Dillon in a surprising new role, and Mickey Rourke as his brother. Presented by Francis Ford Coppola. Based on a novel by S.E. Hinton. Screenplay by S.E. Hinton and Francis Coppola. Music by Stuart Copeland. Directed by Francis Coppola. Rumblefish. Rated R. Under 17. Not admitted without parent or adult guardian.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen, for tonight. So good night, and thank you for coming, and thank you for participating in the first live performance of Paul Mack Presents. Don't forget, next week we're going to have special guests. Brian, your roaming reporter from the far west regions of San Fernando Valley and Tarzana, and also Mickey's pal. So don't forget those two next week, okay? And this tape is dedicated to Christy, wherever she is. Thanks for calling, and now we bring you to Theodorkis Forkis. See you later. Bye.
The Movie Line accepts no responsibility for loss of hearing due to high-fidelity programming broadcast over this line. And don't forget, you can write to The Movie Line, care of P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023. And don't forget to leave your movie reviews on The Movie Line Friday and Saturday at 761-3330. Good night, have a pleasant tomorrow. This broadcast will repeat momentarily.